This is week number 4 of our emphasis on when God's people pray. And I've had quite a bit of feedback saying that people have been touched by the worship setting of all the praying hands being surrounded by prayer, the visualization of that, and just be a little bit more aware of prayer in your life. I hope that's true because, you know, when God's people pray, amazing things happen over and over and over again. So we need to open ourselves to that great love and power that comes as we open ourselves to more and more prayer. It's the amazing things that happened are just incredible, and today's scripture helps us to realize that. I guess I have my Bible over here. As we look at our scripture today, it comes from the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. It's what Jesus was saying to people up on a mountain. And as part of the Great Sermon on the Mount, he says these words. We sang it already as part of our prayer chorus. Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Those are incredible words, are they not? Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Those are incredible words that if we ask God, God will do amazing things for us. It's amazing, like the story that I read again this week about a young woman named Brenda who went rock climbing with her friends. It was the very first time she had ever done such a thing. She was scared to death to go, but her friend said it was wonderful and what a view you get from the top of the mountain there. So she put on all the gear and she started up the cliff and she was getting there, and finally she got to a little place that she could rest a minute, and as she did that, the safety rope kind of snapped a little bit and hit her in the face. But as it did that, it hit her eye in such a way that her contact flipped out. And it was like, oh, here it is. I've lost my contact. She really, that was her eye that she needed the most, and everything was blurry. And so she's feeling all around here and everything on all her clothes and all the rocks. And she just could not find that contact. And oh, she was really upset, all this effort, and she couldn't see what she was doing. So, but she continues to climb. It was hundreds of feet up and hundreds of feet down. So she had no choice but to continue on. And she got to the top, and her friends looked over her clothes, and no, it wasn't there, and it definitely was not in her eyes. And as she was there, she looked around at everything all blurry, and she was really, really despondent. But she remembered a verse. She remembered a Bible verse that said this. It was, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. It's in 2 Chronicles. But she remembered that part about the eyes of the Lord going to and fro throughout the whole earth. And so she began to pray that scripture. She said, God, I know in the Bible it says that your eyes go to and fro throughout all the earth. And so you see everything. And I know that you know where this contact lens is on this mountain. I know that you know that. I am claiming that. It's a promise that's in the Bible. And I know that you can help me find this because I do love you and my heart is loyal to you. Will you please help me find my contact lens? All the way down the mountain, she looked for that contact lens. She was sure she was going to find it. She kept praying, God, I know your eyes go to and fro. I know that you know where that contact lens is. Just help me find it. They got down to the bottom of the mountain, and there was another group ready to go up the mountain. And they said, as they saw this other group coming down, they said, did anybody here lose a contact lens? And so she said, what? You know, you found my contact lens. And the guy said, you would not believe it. I was up, I was looking at the rock, and I happened to look down, and I saw something move. And it was a little ant who was carrying your contact lens. Well, the girl's father happened to be a cartoonist, and so when she got home and she told him this story, he drew this little cartoon of an ant carrying the contact lens, and the ant is saying, "Lord, I don't know why you want me to carry this thing. I can't eat it, and it's awful heavy, but if this is what you want me to do, I'll carry it." Isn't that cute? What an amazing story. Amazing story. But sometimes we're on the side of wanting to find something, and sometimes we're on the side of carrying this heavy load that we can't understand why we're carrying it. But, you know, God is using us in some way. So whether we're looking for a contact lens or carrying a heavy load, we need to know that God is at work, and it's amazing what can happen. So amazing things happen as we pray, and God answers our prayers. So our scripture today is this wonderful prayer: ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be open. That's an amazing promise, is it not? But how many of you have ever prayed and asked God for something and you didn't get it? Well, I certainly have. We've all asked for something that we didn't get, haven't we? But the next part of this scripture kind of gives us a little clue into why maybe that happens. For the next part of the scripture says, "Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if a child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now, Jesus said that to assure people that God will give good gifts. God will answer our prayers. You know, if we ask, God will give us the things we need. However, as we look at this, as we look at the rest of that about who, if anyone among you, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone, what if we turn that around? What if your child asks for a stone and they needed bread? Would you go ahead and give them the stone? Or if they asked for a snake and they really needed a fish, would you give them the snake or the fish? Well, now, some of us are a bit overindulgent as parents or grandparents. And we give our kids really what they want time and time and time again. And sometimes that's not really so good. Like some grandparents I knew that gave their 2-year-old grandson a little 2-wheeler bike with training wheels because that's what the child wanted. Well, the child was not big enough or strong enough to ride that in a correct way. And so the child got on and started riding down a hill but could not do the brakes because it wasn't strong enough, wasn't big enough to do that. And so as he's going down the hill, he comes to the end of the hill, and there's a little cliff, and so over the cliff he goes. And he breaks his leg in several places and had to spend several months in a body cast. Now, you know, as a well-meaning grandparent, they wanted to give their child what they needed. But if they'd used their sense, this child was not big enough, was not ready for such a gift, right? God gives good gifts. God gives good gifts like any good parent or grandparent gives the gifts the child needs, not always what they want. Now, I think we've all had similar occasions when maybe we prayed for something and we realized that God had a bigger idea in mind. For example, when I know I've used this before, but it's a perfect example of this. When I was a senior in high school, my best friend's father got transferred to Warren, Michigan. We were in Kokomo, Indiana, and Warren, Michigan seemed like the end of the world. And I didn't want my friend to move. It was important. I needed my friend for my senior year. It was so important. And I prayed and prayed, but that didn't seem to be answered. It's like God did not hear me. I needed my friend for my senior year. But, of course, the rest of the story is that she moved to Warren. She went to Adrian College, and she met a really nice guy, John Safran, who happened to have a fraternity brother named Bob Gowdy. And I came up and was in her wedding and met Bob, and Cheryl is still my friend. Actually, we're going to Meadowbrook Theater with them on Friday. So, you know, I thought I needed my friend for my senior year. But God knew what I really needed was Cheryl as my friend for life. She's my only high school friend that is still my friend. I needed her, and more than that, I needed Bob Gowdy in my life, right? See, so God gives us the gifts that we need, not necessarily what we want. So sometimes we have difficulties, you know, a relationship ends and another begins. We lose a job and we get a better job. Do we want to, Robin down here, can we celebrate? Robin lost a job. Robin this last week got a new job, and we all say, amen. All right. All right. You know, when we look at that scripture, ask and it will be given to you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you, we also know that God gives people free will and things happen and people make decisions which affect our economy, and a lot of us have to suffer. But as one door is closed, God is always busy opening another. That is the truth. That is a promise that God will open another door if one is closed. That's a promise that we need to trust and believe. The choir's beautiful anthem, trust and believe. We need to trust those promises and believe that will happen. But in the video, Jim Cimbala talks about difficulties in his life, and particularly he had a daughter that went through a very, very rebellious time, and how he and his wife had to continue to pray and pray and pray and pray, and it seemed like the more they prayed, the worse things got for a while. But they kept hanging on to that promise, you know, raise up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And I know, I've been there. I've had a rebellious child as well, and know how you have to keep on praying and praying and praying. And by the way, I want to clear up something. Last week, I said something like at the prayer time about my oldest grandson being in jail. And several people have asked me about that. That's the truth. But it's Jeffrey. Most of you know our two grandsons that come most every week, David and Robert. And it was not either one of them. But David's been gone most of the year. And so some people might think that. But that's because he's in college in Flint. And he happens to be home this weekend for spring break. And he will be here. So if you see him, don't ask him if he's now out of jail. He's in college. He's doing well. And it's his older brother who is in jail. And I have wonderful news because he had his court date today and they sentenced him to a year, but a year in an inpatient drug rehabilitation center. So that is the very, very best thing that could happen to him, because it is a drug problem that causes him to get into all kinds of trouble. So, you know, we keep praying. We keep praying for Jeffrey, and that's his David and Robert's older brother. But it happens to all of us, many of us. We have people that we're concerned about. It happened to Jim Cimbala. It happens to us. I know it has happened to many of you. And we keep needing to pray and pray and pray and pray for these special people in our lives who God has given free choice and free will that they can make those decisions on their own. Well, in the video also you will see a story of a woman who got into heroin and then had HIV and AIDS, and it's an incredible story. But what got her through was that she could pray, and she prayed with such confidence because she studied God's Word. She was always reading the Bible, and she took those promises and those things that she heard in the Bible and prayed them over and over and over again. and it helped her to pray with confidence. So that's Jim Simbala's challenge for us today, is to pray with confidence and to really know the Word of God. For the more that you study God's Word, the more you read it, the more that it helps your faith to grow. And the more your faith grows, then the more that you are able to truly trust God and to believe those promises. And the result is then that you pray with confidence, that you pray with a confidence that it's not just, well, God, I don't know if you can do anything or not. It's, I know you can. I trust and believe your promises because you trust and obey. You trust and believe the promises. There are lots of times when life seems out of focus and maybe you've lost that contact lens, or you've lost your job, or you've lost a relationship, or you've lost your health, and things seem out of focus. But we need to pray with confidence and pray and pray and pray that our life will be back in focus. And we do that, Jim says, to pray with confidence these scripture promises. Now, I have always held on to certain Bible verses and scripture promises that have meant a lot to me, but I've seen them really more as things that are inspirations for me, points of inspiration. So as I read these scripture promises, it's like I'm trying to convince myself to remember them and believe them. But instead of seeing them as just a point of inspiration for me, he says that we need to pray them, that we need to make it part of our prayers, that we need to claim them and pray them. So that's just a little bit of difference there. It's not just a point of inspiration for us, it's to claim them. And as we claim them, then we trust that they were true and we believe that they are true. Like your anthem says, we trust and we believe. So we pray these scripture promises. So if there is a time that you feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel and the life is falling in on you, you need to remember a scripture promise from Psalm 139 that says the darkness is not dark to God. You know, so maybe not just say that over and over as I have done in the past to try to convince myself, but to pray it to God and say, God, I know the darkness is not dark to you. The darkness is as light to you. It darkness is as day to you. You know, but darkness is really dark to me, and I need you to do the seeing right now for me, but I'm going to trust and believe that you're seeing what's going on in my life, and you will get me out of this dark tunnel. We pray those scripture promises. If we have a broken heart, a wonderful scripture promise is one in Psalm 34:18, and I like this translation in the Message Bible that I read. I thought maybe the kids at the 11 o'clock service could really identify with this translation. It says, you know, if your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, God will help you catch your breath. You know, aren't there times that we feel like our heart is broken and that we've just been kicked in the gut and we can't believe, but God is there and will help us to catch our breath. So we need to pray that promise. God, my heart is broken, and the scripture says that you are right there. And I feel like I've been kicked in the gut, but the scripture says that you will help me catch my breath. So I'm going to trust that and believe that and claim that. God, I know that you are right here, right now, with my broken heart and helping me to catch my breath. It's claiming those promises. So I know there are times in our lives that it feels like that there are rainstorms in life. So I want you to just go with me for a little bit and imagine what it's like having this rainstorm in your life. And I've asked Kelly to give us a little musical background so that we can begin to get into that. Maybe you've had a morning when you get up and it's the raindrops are falling outside and you'd plan to go outside and do something, work out in the yard, but it's raining today and those raindrops just kind of are falling on your head and as you get up you go into the bathroom and too late you discover there's no toilet paper in there. Somebody used the last bit and didn't replace the toilet paper, and there you are. It's too late. And, you know, those little drops keep coming on your head, and it's like you go into the kitchen and you want some, you want some coffee and or tea, and there's no sugar, and nobody told you that when you went to the store, and then you try to butter your toast, and you also forgot to get the butter. And then you go in and you want to put on your shirt, and guess what? Big old stain right on your shirt. Have you ever been there, done that, those kind of days? It's raining. It's the raindrops keep pouring on your head. It's like you got out of the wrong side of the bed. And then you go to work and things get worse. People are grouchy. They're grouchy. You didn't even do anything. And they're grouching at you. And then your boss comes up and he gets in your face about something you did. And somebody forgot to get him toothpaste because he has bad breath. And you know, he's in your face and he's grouching about that. And you have to do extra work because of all this layoff. They've laid off people. So you have to do more work and you're getting less money. And you complain about that. It's just not fair. And then they come in with the worst news of all. It's now your turn. You are laid off. Clean out your desk. You have to get out. So you clean out your desk. And as you're going out the door, the door shuts behind you and you go to your car and the tire is flat on your car. This is not fair. So you get out your cell phone and as you're trying to call AAA on the cell phone, it slips out of your hands and falls in a puddle. And then, of course, the cell phone won't work. It's dead. And you know, oh, what is this? One thing after another. The storms of life, the lightning is crashing. And then you go to church. It's Sunday. And as you come into church, the car in front of you gets the last parking place in this parking lot. You got to go across the street. And as you get out of your car across the street, it's raining and it's pouring. And as you're rushing in to get out of the rain, you slip in a puddle and you get all wet. You got mud. You come in the door and the greeter is talking to somebody else. Doesn't even talk to you. Oh, and then you come in and the worst thing of all, guess what? Somebody is sitting in your pew. You've been having that pew for 50 years and somebody new is sitting in that pew. That is not fair. It's not fair. You sit down and the preacher told you last week you can't kick anybody out of the pew. So you sit down in the wrong pew and you think, oh God. This is a storm of life. I feel like those disciples in that boat where the waves are coming over the side of the boat and I'm drowning. And where is Jesus? Where is he? I don't know. Jesus, where are you? In the back of the boat? Sleeping with your head on the pillow? Don't you care that I'm about to perish here? God, what is going on here? Then they play the chime on the organ, which you know means you're supposed to stop talking and be quiet. But you don't feel very quiet. There's a storm in your life. But you hear Jesus say over the storms, peace, be still. And somehow your blood pressure begins to lower just a little bit. And you remember the promise. God is our refuge and our strength and ever have present help in time of trouble. And you pray, God, in your scripture it says that you are always with us, our refuge and our strength. And I'm claiming that. I'm believing that. I'm trusting that. I'm in trouble. Be my refuge and my strength, just like the scripture says. And then you remember Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you know, so you pray, God, you promised, if I come to you, you will give me rest. I'm weary and heavy laden. Give me rest. But not too much. Keep me awake so I can listen to the sermon. And the preacher preaches on nothing is impossible with God. And you're beginning to feel a little better. Yes, there are some raindrops still falling in your life. But it feels more like cleansing, renewing, raindrops as you think nothing is impossible with God, and you pray, God, you promise nothing is impossible with you. And by the time the offering gets here, the clouds have lifted, and you remember the scripture that says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. And you think, oh, God, I know my first instinct is to keep things to myself because things are really bad right now. But I believe and trust your promise that as I give to you, you will give to me even more than I gave. And by the time you walk out, you remember the promise in Jeremiah. And you say, oh God, I thank you that you know the plans that you have for me. They are plans to prosper me and not harm me. Plans to give me hope for a future. So God, I'm going out with hope for the future. I prayed your promises with confidence. I trust and believe the hope you have for me. I trust that's what happens to each of you on this day. It helps to pray those scripture promises. But you might ask, well, how do I know what scripture promises to pray? Guess what's the best thing to do? Yeah, open the Bible. Open it. Read it. Pray. Pray. Meditate on it. Keep track of those little things and highlight things. As you leave today, I do have some little cards for you. Little promises. I typed up 20 promises that have been important in my life. And I want you to pick one up and meditate on it this week. Pray it. See if that helps. But don't stop there. There are lots of them. If you have a question, you know what? You can go to google.com and search for Bible promises for health, Bible promises for job. You can Google anything, including Bible promises. Or just open your Bible. Say, God, lead me to the right verse. But pray those promises. And pray with confidence because you what? Why are you? Trust and believe. Yes, you trust and believe as you pray those promises. That's my prayer for you, that you will trust and believe as you pray the promises of God with confidence. Because God says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open for you. Because God gives you gifts, good gifts. The gifts that you need when you need them. God is at work in all of us, my friends. God has begun a good work and will complete it. You will see. As the ushers come forward to receive our tithes and offerings, there will be several scripture lessons up here. Scripture promises, you can look at them and pray them. Of course, this one says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. I know it's hard. It's hard to give in these days. But I also know that as you give, you will be blessed. It's a gift to you as you give as well. But there will be lots of other promises up here. Read them. If there's one that sticks out to you, just forget the others and start praying it. Start praying it by trusting and believing. You pray with confidence because you believe it and you trust it. So as the ushers come forward to receive our tithes and offerings, let us trust and believe the promises and pray with confidence.